Cecilia was not at liberty to refuse the testimonies of affection lavished upon her by Valerian. Full of esteem for the noble qualities of this young pagan, she could have loved him as a brother, but she was betrothed to him, and the wedding day was rapidly approaching. Who can conceive the anguish of the young virgin? The irresistible command of her parents, the high spirit of the young man, chilled her blood with fear, and she had no other resource than to bury deeper in her soul the chaste secret of that love which reigned supreme in her heart. She knew that her angel watched over her, but she would soon be forced to contend for herself. It was time to prepare for combat. Under a magnificent dress, embroidered with gold, she wore a hair shirt, seeking thus to mortify her innocent flesh, and bring it into subjection to the spirit, that it may not recoil when she would be called upon to pay with her blood the signal honor of being chosen the bride of heaven. Condemned to live in the midst of the patrician effeminacy, she took every precaution to deaden by voluntary suffering the attraction to pleasure which tyrannizes over the children of Eve, and too frequently reveals to an imprudent and negligent soul the deep corruption of the human heart. If, following the example of the widow Bethulah, Cecilia concealed under her garments the instruments of her penance, like David, she also weakened her flesh by rigorous fasts. According to the custom of the first Christians, when they wished to appease heaven or obtain some signal favor, she abstained from food 2 and sometimes 3 days, only taking in the evening a slight repast necessary to support life. This courageous preparation, by means of which she hoped to ensure victory, was rendered still more efficacious by her continual and ardent prayers. With heartfelt earnestness, she recommended to God the dreaded hour. With tears and sighs, she implored the assistance of the celestial spirits, who cooperate in our salvation, of the holy apostles, patrons and founders of Christian Rome, of the blessed inhabitants of heaven who protect our combats. The favor which Cecilia so fervently solicited was granted, but her celestial spouse was pleased to try his noble bride, that her virtue might be strengthened and purified. Was she not soon, in return for so much suffering, to enter into the possession of eternal happiness? Moreover, the approaching conflict which was to crown her with so much glory was but the prelude to those combats in the midst of which she would require a manly courage, not yet sufficiently developed in her heart by divine love. The day finally arrived when Valerian is to receive the hand of Cecilia. The palace of the Sicilii is in a state of commotion. The heart of the young man bounds with happiness, and the two families, proud of being united in their children, look forward to the hope of a posterity worthy of their ancestors. Cecilia is led forward, attired in the nuptial dress of the patrician ladies. The purity of her soul is well represented by her simple white woolen tunic, trimmed with bands, and fastened with a white woolen girdle. This modest apparel, the last trace of the ancient gravity of Roman customs, was, at the same time, a glorious reminiscence of the Sicilian family, the plain robe of the bride being a memento of that woven by the royal matron, Sia Cecilia. The hair of the virgin, according to custom, was divided into 6 tresses, which was at once an imitation of the vestal headdress, and a touching symbol of Cecilia's consecration. A flame-colored veil concealed from profane eyes her maiden beauty, on which the angels gaze with admiration. At this solemn moment, the virgin's heart was firm and calm. She confided in the protection of her guardian angel. For the first time, she was compelled to endure the celebration of pagan ceremonies. The wine and milk were offered in her presence, but she turned away her eyes. The cake symbol of alliance was broken, and Cecilia's timid hand, adorned with the invisible ring of the spouse of Christ, was placed in that of Valerian. All was accomplished in the eyes of man, and the virgin, over whom heaven was watching, had taken another step towards danger. According to an ancient custom, the bride was conducted to the dwelling of her husband at sunset. The house of Valerian was situated in the Trans-Tiberian region, near the Salutaris Way, a short distance from the Cestius Bridge, which connects the island of the Tiber to the Janiculum district. This mansion, the last earthly dwelling place of Sicilia, was destined soon to surpass in glory the palaces, baths, and temples which surrounded it, and of which the antiquaries of the present day can scarcely find a trace. A sanctuary consecrated by the blood of a virgin, it was to survive all the disasters of Rome, and to proclaim, through the course of the ages, the fidelity of her who dwelt for a short period beneath its roof. Nuptial torches preceded the retinue which accompanied Cecilia to the dwelling of her husband. The crowd extolled the charms of the young virgin, but she conversed in her heart with that Almighty God who preserved the three children in the fiery furnace and saved Daniel from the lion's fury. These memorials of the ancient covenant, so frequently carved upon the crypts which Cecilia had piously visited, animated her courage as they had strengthened that of the martyrs. At length, the bridal party arrived at the palace. Under the portico, decorated with white tapestry, embroidered with festoons of flowers and leaves, Valerian awaited Cecilia. According to the ancient custom, the bridegroom saluted his bride with this question, "Who art thou?" The bride replied, "Where thou art, Caius, I will be Caia." The allusion was doubly touching at the marriage of one of the daughters of the Cecilia family, this formula being another reminiscence of Caia Cecilia, who was venerated by the Romans as the type of woman in her domestic relations. The Christian Cecilia found a more accomplished model in the portrait drawn by the Holy Ghost of the strong woman, and Valerian was soon to comprehend the truth of this divine oracle, so fully accomplished in his spouse. Strength and beauty are her clothing, and she shall laugh in the latter day. She hath opened her mouth to wisdom, and the law of clemency is on her tongue. Her husband rose up, and he praised her. Cecilia then crossed the threshold of the door. We have reason to believe that, being a Christian, she was not compelled to conform to the superstitious ceremonies observed by the Romans at the entrance of a bride under the conjugal roof. Those which followed were more congenial to a Christian. Water was presented to the bride as an emblem of the purity with which she should be adorned. A key was placed in her hands as a symbol of the interior administration, henceforth confided to her care, and finally she seated herself for a moment upon a fleece to remind her that she must not shrink from domestic labor. The bridal party then passed into the triclinium, where the wedding supper was served. During the banquet, an epithalamium was sung, celebrating the union of Valerian and Cecilia, and a band of musicians made the hall re-echo with the harmony of their instruments. During these profane concerts, Cecilia also sang in the depth of her heart, and her melody was united to that of angels. She repeated that verse of the psalmist, so well adapted to her situation, "May my heart and my senses remain always pure, O my God, and may my chastity be preserved inviolable." The Church has faithfully preserved these words of the Virgin. They are recited each year on the day of her triumph and to honor the sublime concert in which she sang with the celestial spirits and which surpassed all the melodies of earth. She has been styled Queen of Harmony. After the banquet, matrons guided Cecilia's trembling steps to the door of the nuptial chamber, decorated with all the effeminacy of Roman luxury, and rendered still more imposing by its silence and obscurity. Valerian followed the Virgin. Once they were alone, Cecilia, strengthened by divine grace, addressed her husband these gentle and touching words. "My generous friend, I have a secret to confide to thee. Swear that thou wilt respect it." Valerian vehemently protested that he would preserve the secret of his bride, and that nothing should ever force him to reveal it. "Listen then," resumed Cecilia. "I am under the care of an angel whom God has appointed protector of my virginity. If thou shouldst violate it, his fury will be enkindled against thee, and thou wilt fall a victim to his vengeance. If, on the other hand, thou wilt respect it, he will favor thee with his love, and obtain for thee many blessings. Astonished and agitated, the young man, who was unconsciously controlled by grace, replied respectfully, Cecilia, if thou wishest me to believe thee, let me see this angel. When I have seen him, if I recognize him as one of God's angels, I will comply with thy request. But if thou lovest another man, know that I will destroy both him and thee with my sword. Cecilia continued with ineffable authority, Valerian, if thou wilt follow my advice, if thou wilt consent to be purified by the waters of the fountain of eternal life, if thou wilt believe in the one true and living God who reigns in heaven, thou shalt see my guardian angel. And who will purify me that I may see thy angel? Exclaimed Valerian. There is a venerable old man, replied Cecilia, who purifies mortals, after which they may see the angel of God. Where shall I find this venerable old man? Cried Valerian. Go out of the city by the Appian Way, replied Cecilia, as far as the third milestone. There we'll find some poor beggars who ask alms of the passers-by. These poor creatures are objects of my constant solicitude, and my secret is known to them. When you approach them, give them my blessing, and say to them, Cecilia sends me to you, and begs you will conduct me to the holy old man Urban. I have a private message to deliver him. When introduced into the presence of the holy man, repeat to him what I have just told thee. He will purify thee and clothe thee in new and white garments. On thy return to this apartment, thou wilt see the holy angel, who will then be thy friend and obtain for thee all thou desirest.